I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Welcome back to the NSFW podcast right here on Balls Up. If you're listening on the podcast or the Spotify app, make sure you rate and review us 5 stars. If you're watching on YouTube, why not go over and download the podcast? Because every little helps. And hit the like button and subscribe whilst you're on YouTube. Mm. Today, no corporate Dave. It's just 2 days until his wedding when we're filming this. He is prepping for that. No Milad Mogadam. He had a meeting. He is becoming corporate Milad. Yeah, Dave is taking him to the dark side. No Jamie either, so it's just me, Horner, and Sav Berry.
The young boys.
The Three Musketeers. Yeah.
Oh, cheers for that. Yeah,
yeah. Lovely.
Jamie's technically younger than me.
What's everybody been up to today?
Today?
Yeah, or this week, sorry, in the last 7 days.
Last 7 days. Should I go first?
Yeah.
We had a very, very feisty game of football yesterday for FDFC.
We did.
That was a mad game. We actually played people that Joe knows personally from back home. Well, the team.
I don't know these boys personally from back home. I know 2 players. Neither of them were playing last night.
Oh, fair enough.
It's just my mate's work.
It's a good story, that.
Yeah. But we were, 7 aside. It was a very, very feisty.
It was super feisty. Like, I think that was the closest Sam Obaseki has been to having a fight.
Score?
Yeah. We beat him 4-1. It was a comfortable victory.
We're unbeaten in 9 now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're destroying
it.
Oh,
the Big Ten.
Destroying it in that league.
The Big Ten next week. Who you got next week?
We've got 2nd in the table next week. Very tough game.
Are you top?
Yeah, we're top of the table, of course. We've played, I think, 8 or 7.
So hold on, we're still in that league? I thought we were moving leagues.
We are soon, but not yet.
Not yet, okay.
I think we've played 7 or 8. We've scored 40 and conceded 5.
There's a fellow that we work with called Danny Pape, and his right foot is just beautiful.
Yeah. Killian and
Pape. Glorious.
We've got some unbelievable players. Sam Obaseki is crazy good. Yeah. Last night, somebody whacked him into the advertising boardings and he just went, right, I've had enough, give me the ball. And he just scored 2 mad goals. Obviously, also the Myth chipped in with a goal last night as well.
Yeah, the Myth was in there.
He actually hit it so hard.
He did that.
Put the keeper back into the net. Unbelievable shot. But it was feisty.
The look he just gave off camera as well.
It was feisty, wasn't it, last night? Yeah, it was a few near scraps. The worst line I think I've ever heard on a 7-a-side pitch came out last night. He went, it was like, we were like pushing and shoving each other or whatever. And he went, yeah, you wouldn't do that at a club though, would you, mate? And we were like, well, no, mate, this is 7-a-side football. No one's playing 7-a-side football at a club.
What, any other things spring to mind just on that topic of the worst things like you've heard people shout out at like a football game? Because I've got one.
Go on.
Millwall playing Sheffield Wednesday once. And there used to be this guy that sat near where my season ticket was. And obviously Millwall supporters, like, they're usually very quick and very witty. It's like a very funny football fan. So all the jokes were always quality. And there was this one guy who was all, you know those blokes who's just, he won't shut up, but he's not funny. Yeah.
Right.
And he just come out with, I cringe saying it. This guy, this isn't me.
Is it offensive?
No. He just stood up and just went, yeah, well, you can only play on a Wednesday.
Oh.
Against Sheffield Wednesday. It was literally about 50 blokes all just, and stare at this one guy.
That's embarrassing.
So embarrassing. I was only about 12 at the time. I remember just thinking, oh, what's God, open up and swallow him.
I was called a psychopath last night.
Yeah.
Got my first psychopath statement, which was interesting. One of the guys we were playing against was actually wearing ASIC, pavement running shoes, tracksuit bottoms, and
Under Armour. Gel soggers.
And we were like clattering into each other, me and this one guy having a proper battle, and I spotted him probably 10 yards in front of me. I was playing centre half and the ball was about to get knocked into his feet. I knew he was going to turn. So the ball got knocked into his feet, went to turn, and I just met him with like an American football, like no interest in the ball whatsoever. Right. An American football, like double forearm smash just under his chin. Just took him off his feet. Like, so he gets up and he goes, you're a psychopath! You're a psychopath! Yeah, what's the matter with you? You've got so much rage in you! Angry little man! He's Scottish. I'm not versed, yes. He was Scottish. But they were terrible. Beating 4-1. Awful bunch of blokes. But
It wasn't even our best team like last night.
It wasn't, no, we still handled him.
No Luka Nichols either, obviously.
No Adam Hibbert.
Our best player. So no Luka Nichols, he's on holiday.
Yeah.
Posting things he shouldn't be posting.
Yeah, I need to speak to you about that. But we'll move on from that.
Mad.
Other than that one, I haven't really done much.
What have you been up to?
Actually, we were... I did this because it's usually you that says this, but we were all out on Saturday night, weren't we?
Oh, mad.
Wasn't supposed to be planned. There was... Well, for yous it was. I was... two mates of mine had a housewarming. Yeah. And also two other mates of mine got engaged, so we did like a day for that. It was a bit of day drinking. I got asked to marry my two mates.
Which is
an interesting moment.
Are you actually going to do
anything? Shout out Chris
online?
And Ron. So it's not like I don't have to, because basically they don't want a big wedding thing.
Yeah.
They want to go get it done quietly, which they're going to go do at a registry office. And then they're going to do like a big party, but the party's going to sort of have like a bit of a, not a ceremony, but a thing at the start between the two of them.
Yeah.
So they want me to host that.
It's cute.
Thing
nice.
On the
nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
I'd like to see you get ordained though, if possible.
But so that was my thinking was, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. So
talk to my mum.
I might look for the hookup.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
See if I can get ordained, but and do it properly. But so that was lovely. But then I knew obviously the boys were all out for Zach's 21st.
Yeah.
Shout out the boy, and. So I managed to rope everyone into deciding that I came seven strong down to Camden, didn't I?
You did,
and met you lot in Fest, and we had a decent little night.
It was a good night.
Had a boogie.
It was a great night.
Some shapes being thrown, Michael McCubbin all over the place, limbs flailing.
He did, what a legend. Zach did brilliantly. It was his 21st birthday, incredible. Obviously. He arrived at my house at 12:30.
Midday, lunchtime.
And I thought, it's his 21st, you got to go pretty big for your 21st. Yeah. So lined him up a fair few shots of alcohol, mainly drinking absinthe. Yes. He had to do a shot for every goal. So by the time we arrived at Camden Fest, I think he was about 12, 13 shots deep.
That's a madness.
At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Don't try this at home.
Poor old Mick. He met us. He arrived very early, waiting at least about 45 minutes for us. I was like,
I didn't know that.
I'm just on the tube nearly there, mate. Nearly there. I hadn't even got the tube yet. Clapham, miles away. But it was a wicked night. Big up Camden Fest for having us.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun there. Yeah. And then
you did all the free booze before I arrived, though.
We did all the free booze. Did all the free booze before you arrived, unfortunately.
Yeah. Before I arrived, to be fair.
Yeah, that went pretty quickly, I'm not going to lie.
But, shout out Milan as well, who promised you he was going down, didn't he?
He literally made me promise to him that I was going, and then didn't turn up.
Biggest dropout going is Milan. And he's got so many tells of it. It's like today I asked him, but what did I ask him about today?
So you're going to join us for this UFC watch-along, which we will be doing in the next couple
of weeks.
We're
doing a UFC watch-along, on balls
Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Boom, there it is. Yeah. We asked him if he was going to join us for it, and he did it. He went, yeah, I'll be there. He knows straight away that means he's going to say yeah, and then on the night he's a fan of an Irish goodbye, Mills, isn't he?
Yeah, he loves
he'll just drift
he's
out.
He's a
the
fan
back
of an Irish hello. He never shows up.
Never shows up.
It's mental.
That's not bad for me.
He's got a very, very poor track record of showing up to anything.
He does. Yeah. He does indeed.
Let Dave Jackson down on his stag, and now he's let Zach Gillard down on his 21st.
He showed up for the stag.
Yeah, at least he showed up for it, yeah.
Yeah, he did show up.
Just on the night quickly, on the Zach Gillard's birthday, Sonny from Football Daily, was on big form. He was on really good form.
One of Sonny's first couple big nights out, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it was.
It was Sonny's first night out in London.
Was it?
Yeah, it was his first night in London.
Ooh. Stayed at, this is quality.
Stayed at Temps and Zach's
place. Stayed in Kieran's room.
That's hilarious.
Kieran sent him a handover for his bedroom.
He did, it's jokes. But Sonny was an absolute highlight on the night.
He was
threatening. He's obviously a black belt in karate, son. So he can handle himself. And when he is actually like stood up,
he's quite large.
But
he's also extremely. He looks innocent.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
yeah, very much innocent.
Yeah,
and but you still just wouldn't mess with him. He was going, everybody, get out of our area. Yeah.
couple of blokes went to walk in. He's like, get out.
Oh,
get out.
The best one. This bald and ginger bloke walked in, right?
Oh yeah.
With like a couple of girls or whatever, and Sonny's like,
it was mad.
Sonny was like, what's he doing in here? He gets up, ushers him out. He's like, I'm not having Sean Dyche in this in this booth.
It was great, actually. And then it was actually like a cabaret night. So there was there was like fire breathers.
It usually is. Like a Saturday night.
I think that was their first one. That was their first cabaret night.
When it used
night.
To be Proud. Proud used to do that regularly.
Oh, and they had, anyway, two fire breathing ladies and a midget who was like like doing the overall like... MCing effectively of the night, and he asked Sonny for a photo or something like that. Yeah, promotional photo.
Basically, he was. You weren't actually in the booth at that time, were you?
No, I wasn't.
So me and the Myth were sitting down, and he walks in with like the photographer or whatever. He's like, "Oh, can I just get like a couple of shots just for promo or whatever?" So he walks over, get the pictures, like just busting normal conversation. I can't stress normal conversation, right? He then asked Sonny. He's walking out. He then asked Sonny, oh, how big are your shoes? Don't know why he asked him. How big are your shoes? He goes, I'm size 11. Why? He's like, oh, just asking. Walks out. Sonny goes, I was this close to knocking him out.
No need for it. Actually, no need for it.
He's a wizard, number one. Number two, he didn't say anything. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's crazy. He's proper Essex boy.
He's so funny.
But he is very, very funny.
So funny.
Yeah, I'll tell you in the middle of it. I went, Mills did turn up. I mean, you've just basically. I was going to ask you then. How's your week been then? Let's say after. How was your Sunday recovering from?
Oh,
this?
Sunday was a mess.
Yeah.
Sunday was. I was not in good areas at all. I was all over the place. Didn't leave the house.
Didn't people go back to yours as well, didn't they?
Yeah, people come back to mine.
Including my brother.
Yeah.
I didn't go. My brother went back. Yeah. Joe, and then my brother and Joe agree that Joe is now doing a DJ set at your Halloween party.
Yeah, I'm having like a Halloween house party and. Dave Horner's brother Joe is a DJ and he's doing a set at my house party. And so
back to back with James
so
Wayne.
James Wayne's doing a set as well.
And Shout out the boys.
I think another one of my friends is doing a set as well. So it's going
to
be absolutely
joke. I sent it to Joe the other day. I showed him the email you sent around the office saying about if people wanted to go.
Yeah.
And he just said, I don't really remember like agreeing to it. And I said, do you know you're going back to that with James Wayne? I don't remember saying that at all. Yeah, well, you are now.
Definitely did. And he even got Doogie to record a sample for it.
He's played me that. It's decent. Yeah.
Doogie goes something. It's something like, James, these beats are far too hard for this time of night.
Yeah. But,
and Doogie's so posh.
Yeah, he's going to try and use that on a track at some point.
Yeah, it's quite a joke. Anyway, let's go on to news stories then, Savs.
Sweet.
What have you got? What are you bringing to the table today?
Well, today, I just want to talk about these two blokes from Croydon.
Right. It's not the cat murderers.
What?
Yeah, two stories coming out of Croydon this week.
There is. Front page BBC today, the Croydon cat murderer.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. What's that?
500 cats been defaced.
Defaced?
What's it called? Mutilated. In Croydon over the last
defaced
like 10
500
years.
Cats?
Yeah, over the last 10 years. And they're trying to find... They're trying to... just having cats.
That's
Croydon.
Croydon.
Yeah.
It's like the Croydon cat killer, it's called.
What?
I'm not joking.
It's not wrong.
No way.
They've been hunting for the Croydon cat killer for years. Somebody's been mutilating cats, but now they've kind of come to the opinion it's not one person.
No, it's not one person.
It's nothing. It's like
it says Croydon cat killer hunt ends after 3-year investigation. Scotland Yard declares humans in the clear and foxes are likely behind the mutilation.
Just mutilating cats.
Yeah, humans in the clear.
Them, bro. Like
that's
all
mad.
Missing heads and stuff. And that was a big news out of Croydon for this week, so you better be bringing some fire.
Well, just quickly on that, my mum's cat had a fight with a fox last week.
Oh, that was just on this topic.
Dangerous,
so do what you're going to say.
Yeah, very dangerous. Like, she shout Latifa. That's the name of the cat. It's called
Latifa.
Yes. After the Queen, obviously. So she had a fight with it. I went and saw her. And it's just bald, basically. Like, to call her.
What, the fox?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. No, that, it's not about cats, my story. It's about these two...
Just on the subject, I will just say, because you're both of yours involve foxes, that I'm walking... We were saying this earlier. We haven't had... There's always been events or things... we've been staying late the last couple of weeks, haven't we? It always ends up that you're getting home, walking back off the train, and it's like 11 o'clock, midnight, whatever. Mm. It's late at night. Around me, you get... You know the foxes that...
Oh, bro.
They're big gits.
Yeah.
Yeah, roadman foxes.
Yeah.
And you're saying about like they're mutilating cats. Seriously, you walk down the road. I'm over there every night. It's just in my mind because you're walking down and they're there.
Yeah.
And I swear to God, They're following you.
Yeah, they're road
like
cats.
You turn around, road, and they're, road foxes. They turn around, they like go behind a bush.
Bro, I'm
and
telling you,
and they just drift out.
Mad. Also, I'm gonna have, huge. I'm gonna have, so dangerous, foxes. Yeah, they're yeah, proper
yeah,
dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so
well, don't tell me this.
There was, I don't know whether you boys saw coming back to Doogie Critchley. Did you see his story yesterday?
I love it.
Oh my God, it's comedy gold. Yeah. It's one of his first Instagram stories, and he posts a photo. It's a selfie of him, his girlfriend, and a cat, and it said "R.I.P." what's the name of the cat? I can't remember. R.I.P. Cat.
Yeah.
Cat. Great cat or something like that.
Yeah.
And the next one was just a video of him going, just like to correct myself on that one, cat's not actually died.
Honestly, I'm actually going to get a sound clip up. It's actually hilarious.
He's calling.
He called the what? Death of his cat before it was dead, and he posted it on Instagram. So here's the first one. It's R.I.P.
R.I.P. Patch the
what
cat.
What a guy is the hashtag.
Hashtag what a guy.
This is the next one.
Right, in a miraculous turn of events, please ignore my previous post on my story. Patch the cat, grey cat, is still alive. He's made a Jesus second coming. He's fine. They can't still put him down. It's all good.
That is amazing.
Oh,
it's honestly gold.
Dukes is absolute gold.
It's when he just goes... Great cat.
Great cat. It's meant Jesus quality, second bro. Coming.
In fact, furthermore, on that, I'm going to have on screen now a video. I took one last week of a fox following me from to my mum's house. Followed me all the way there. Yeah. From the station to my mum's.
What's wrong with that? It's not going to hurt you, a fox. It's well scared of you.
Oh, fox is super dangerous. He literally just said it.
Yeah. I mean, for like small animals... They are like dangerous.
Cats. Have you also heard about cats, the first first domesticated foxes in this country? What? Where people have them as pets?
No. I've seen a video, I think we did a video, about a guy that like has domesticated taken one
a fox
in.
And he's like...
he looks like a fox.
Oh, is he one
so
of them?
So it's
them?
A bit, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, how legit is it?
My old dog was a Jack Russell, and yeah. His dad was
that's
a...
So, it's just him, isn't it?
Was a farm...
Jack dad, Russell.
If you were a dog, you'd yeah, be Jack Russell.
Ratting about.
His dad was a farm Jack Russell, yeah. And so pretty much purely bred for ratting,
yeah.
Like go and kill hundreds of rats a day.
Welcome
and one day the farmers came down after they'd sent him off ratting or whatever, came down and he'd ripped the throat out of a fox, killed him in a fight. A Jack Russell that's ripping mad. A throat out of a fox.
I bet he lived off
that's
that.
That's obscene. Yeah, it's an absolute beast, Jack Russell, walking around like,
oh, the boys. We're going to get to your story in a minute.
Him, bro.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen in terms of dogs like that is I went to Santorini on holiday once and no one walks their dogs.
Yeah.
But the dogs take themselves out.
It's like the same in Turkey.
Yeah, it's but it's the weirdest thing because you'll be sitting at a restaurant, right, and there's like... two dogs that live in a house, they're just sitting outside the house.
Yeah.
And while you're sitting in the restaurant, like four will walk up who have met on the way.
Yeah,
it's like knocking
yeah.
for your mates.
Literally, bro. It's
and they walk, they get to the restaurant, and the two join them. Yeah. They carry on.
Bro, it's
and then
it's
the
mad.
Dogs would just meet, like, do the rounds to get everyone, then trot off out into the, like, up the hills or whatever,
yeah,
have
yeah.
a little walk for half hour. And then you'd see him come back, those two drift back home, and then carry on
bro,
again.
It's nuts, bro.
It's mental.
My mum's got a yard in Turkey, and I went to stay out there last year for a little holiday for about a week, yeah? And like when we would walk down to the beach, it's like a 10-15 minute walk from the beach. And when you're walking past like houses, these dogs will be in the houses. They're not chained up or anything. They're just there chilling. But there's like real life beef.
Yeah.
Like they have territory.
Yeah.
Like when there's two dogs, my mum's named them Eric and Derek, yeah? And they live in my mum's Evleri, is what it's called. It's like a cul-de-sac. So when we're going to the beach, they know where we're going. So they follow, they go with us. So because they can't go through that territory without humans. That's literally what it's like. So they're going through, they're walking through and all these dogs like... you know what I'm saying? And then they're like, yeah, we've got humans. You know what I'm saying? It's so funny. It's wicked in Turkey.
What's your story?
My story.
What's this coin?
Little animal dialogue.
Yeah, it's not even as good as all that, to be fair. But it was basically these two twins. They're like 39, these two black twins. I think they're Nigerian heritage. They started their own cryptocurrency in like their mum's kitchen, right? And they're now worth 100 million as like a collector.
What? It's crazy. Yeah. Is that one of those classic like made it from nothing stories?
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm not like...
How do you start your
details?
Cryptocurrency?
I'll get the details up because I think it's something like their cryptocurrency is they actually started it as a way for small businesses to have cash flow.
Right, okay.
Which, I'll be honest, I'm saying that because that's what it says. And I remember when I read it thinking, don't know
what
that
does
means.
That mean? Yeah.
But I thought crypto, I thought like the arse had fallen out of the cryptocurrency market. Like, I thought it was all over the place.
Wasn't that just Bitcoin? Or was that cryptocurrency?
Don't talk down, Blaze.
I don't know.
We've got money invested.
I don't know, but I kind of thought that
that
cryptocurrency had gone a bit rogue over the last like 5 months and people had stopped investing.
It definitely declined. It 100% declined.
Because there was a massive uptake and it was like spiking.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Like one Bitcoin was worth thousands and thousands and thousands.
Bro, there was a girl on my Instagram who she was put. I wouldn't, if me personally, if this was me, I would not have been putting this up, but she'd basically put up like videos and pictures of her. Looking at like the graph, and she'd put in, I think maybe 400, 500 quid worth of pound sterling when it was nothing. Yeah. And then now everything that she'd put in was worth 50k. Do you know what I'm saying? And she was putting that all over socials. I'm like, I wouldn't do that.
Do you know what's
crazy.
Proper weird?
Yeah.
I cannot find it anywhere. Story.
Yeah?
There it is. Like,
there it is.
Oh,
yeah.
That's weird. Last search I've done, it's just popped up.
That did well.
But yeah, it's nuts, man.
Like, I never invested it. Did you actually ever invest in it?
I didn't invest in it. I wasn't sure what it was, and I'm not going to put my money somewhere. I don't know where it's
Some people invested in it in our
big
office.
Time, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
We're putting like a fair few hundred pounds into it. But we just never
I didn't get into it.
Got onto it.
And some of them made some money, actually.
Darren
made a fair bit.
Darren made some decent. Yeah, I think he's still got some invested in like Ethereum or one of the other ones. Just to give you some facts on it, Steve and Sam Williams, both 39, whose parents emigrated from Nigeria in the early 70s, spent 4 years working on the software behind their Populous, that's the name of their one, currency in the family home in Broccoli.
Man.
It helps small and medium-sized businesses with cash flow. Within 5 days of launching in June last year, so it's only a year as well.
That's crazy.
Demand was so strong, the initial batch of tokens were worth more than 8 million. And basically, where's the
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
The thing is, can you imagine being them two, right, and saying to people, trust me, like what we're going to be doing is going big, and everyone's like, oh, shut up, what are you talking about?
Just to give
and
you the final...
Now worth 100 mil.
It's their cryptocurrency, Populous, is now rated as the 51st most valuable cryptocurrency in the world. There's about 2,000 in the world. And it has a market value of about £100 million.
That is
pounds.
It's
crazy,
man.
Because you think like they would have been telling all their family like,
we're gonna
this is gonna be massive, and their family's like, Steve.
Apparently, like the stories is they started their business in their mum's kitchen, so it's crazy. Like I love stories like that,
bro. I'd love to get them on a podcast and just chat to them about their mindset and about what they were thinking. And obviously, they're not young. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what were they doing
it's
before?
It's one of those things, though. It's just like. Like, my dad's always been amazing for it. It's it's so many ideas through the years where if he just had... My dad never had, like, backing in terms of, like, his not in a bad way, but his mum and dad would never be like, oh, let's help you go do something, because they never had anything.
Yeah,
so
he
had so many, like, ideas of stuff that probably could have taken off. He's just never had the chance to make a break out of it. And there's so many people like that. Who like could have had incredible ideas for businesses or whatever, and have just never been given the
tools.
Any person that's really made it, a lot of the people that make it will always say that like a lucky break helps somewhere.
It is always,
So
it's got a lot to do with it, man.
Although I've listened to a few podcasts from ANPR. They talk about it's a podcast called How I Built This.
A
wicked podcast. I mean, it's only like 40 minutes, so not long episodes, but they're so digestible. And it each week features. I think his name's like Guy Raz, something like that, and he interviews an entrepreneur, and he's had like Richard Branson on there, like massive names, like the owner of Five Guys, the owner of Instagram, like the Instagram story I think is probably one of my favourites. The Instagram guy, that started Instagram as like a location app, so like you would post on there where you are.
What?
So you would like tag yourself in at Costa Coffee, London.
Yeah.
Like, was it Foursquared?
Yeah, it was literally a rip-off of Foursquared, pretty much. And
well, that's on Facebook.
And
wasn't
to
it?
Differentiate themselves from Foursquared, they put the ability to so you could put a photo
that
there.
Is mad.
And then one day when they were walking down the beach, him and his girlfriend, he thought to himself, he took a photo to tag himself in at wherever. Some beach, and he thought to himself, oh, I wish you could make that look just that little bit better. And his missus was like, why don't you just add like a filter? Like, you should just add a filter that you can just automatically swipe across.
Man.
And that was the first filter ever created. I think it's called X-Ray or Lo-Fi. It was one of those.
Lo-Fi.
And it's still there now to this day. And then they just eventually, as the algorithm changed, they binned off locations and went for purely
photo-driven
stream app.
And
it then became obviously worth probably billions and bought by Facebook.
Well, Instagram seems to be, in my view at least, the platform that's taking the time to do video and things like that right,
yeah,
and do monetize it. They're not rushing into it. They're making sure the key is still how you consume content.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't follow Balls Up to Instagram, so make sure you go and do that as well, isn't it?
Shout out GG.
Also, there's another really interesting one on there. I think it's not Five Guys. It might have been Five Guys. But the Richard Branson one's proper interesting. Like, the amount of failed businesses he's had
is
crazy. You know, he actually had a business for wedding dresses called Virgin Brides. Virgin Brides, it was called, and it was actually a business that was pitched to him once in a literal elevator pitch by a random woman who got her way into Virgin offices, pitched it to him, and he actually created a business around it, and it failed.
Quite a question on that. Crazy. I've always wondered this. This is probably a really easy answer. I've just never Googled it. Did you ever mention on it why his brand is Virgin?
I think he does, but I can't remember what he says about it because it's such a bad name, isn't it?
Well, it's just, I always remember. I remember writing a joke when I was really young about it. That he started it when he was 16 or 18 or something like that, and the joke was like, I can't remember exactly. But the punchline was like, so no wonder he called it Virgin.
Yeah,
but.
It's definitely not that. I can't remember what it was.
Listening to like entrepreneurs speak here, it makes you realise how almost crazy and detached you have to be to get to that level of entrepreneurialism.
He's honestly mental. Like
even the Elon Musk thing with Joe
Elon
Rogan.
Elon Musk podcast Rogan. We have to talk about it because it's mental. I know it's been out for over a week now, a couple of weeks.
You were sort of fascinated in weird ways by it.
I can't stop watching it. And the worst thing about it was the weed. Like, you forget that, the fact that went viral was almost like taking away how good it is.
Because
that podcast is madness. When he's talking about AI and the future of, like, gasoline cars and stuff, the man is a different level of brain to us humans. Mm. He's actually so robotic as well.
Yeah,
when he's speaking, it's like, yes. This is not smart.
It's
the use of the word this in that podcast is like, he's going like, this is not a good idea.
Yeah.
This is not a smart way to live.
He's almost like a computer.
It's always establishing the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's really bizarre. But his thoughts on AI, I think, are really interesting. How he petitioned the government and he actually personally met with Obama to warn the American government about the dangers of AI. And they basically refused to listen to him. And were like, no, it's never going to be that bad. And he was like, we have now got to the stage where it's happening. We can't do anything about AI. Like, it's going to happen. He at one stage in the podcast, he actually calls us the biological bootloader for AI.
That's mad.
Like, he was like, we have now, it could well be that the point of this species, as humans as we know it now, is to become and create AI. That could be, when people ask, why are we on this earth? The reason now actually genuinely could be so we can create AI.
Because if
AI actually gets born in the way it, that you, once it's out of the box, you can never put it back in. You can never put the genie back in the box. You can't just unplug it out of the wall. It doesn't work like that. Once it's out of the box, you can't get it back in. And effectively, we are now on a course.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because it'll become so super intelligent, you won't be able to distinguish it from reality.
Yeah, and also it's like this whole go forth and reproduce thing, right? Once there's one, it's going to, if we make it as intelligent as we want to make it, then it's going to think, there needs to be more of me then, doesn't there? Because there's way more of them than there is me.
No, but it's also like, AI will get to the stage where it will be so smart, it will have worked out a way to self-power.
Mm.
You won't need, you could put it in a dark room and it would be able to self-power. Its intelligence is so
That's
much
what I mean.
Greater than you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
can't comprehend.
Mm.
It's thinking, like, we're thinking and seeing in a really narrow field. It's seeing at a million times and thinking at a million times the speed you're thinking at right now.
Mm.
So it's doing calculations that we can't even comprehend.
Yeah, for sure.
It's stuff like he's basically got a company called Neuralink, Elon Musk, where he's trying to put AI in the human brain as a plug-in so it can work with you. So effectively, at the snap of a finger, we could all become superhumans.
Yeah, and that to me is
it's crazy.
Because he makes a really good point, is that effectively right now we are all cyborgs.
Why is that?
Because you are totally reliant on your phone.
Yeah.
Like, as much as you can, as close as we are effectively a cyborg. We are almost simpatico with technology in the form of an iPhone or a Samsung or whatever phone you're using.
Yeah.
The only problem with it is bandwidth. Like, you can't type fast enough to get the information you desire. You know what I mean? If we were all thinking, like the Croydon thing, we couldn't get that information because the bandwidth of the search and us trying to think of what we're going to search and type in didn't work. Yeah. If that was preloaded into your brain, and as you thought about it, every article about the Croydon thing came up, you're immediately increasing the time taken to get information by a million. You're also, another thing people don't think about when they think about AI in the brain, is memory capacity. If you think about your phone's memory as you've got a 64 gigabyte iPhone, your phone never forgets anything if you don't want it to.
Yeah.
You can capture every photo and every moment. Imagine if your brain had a memory that never forgot. It would be crazy. Though. Like, you would never forget a name, you'd never forget a face, you'd never forget a piece of information.
But it also makes me think, like, you see, like, in The Matrix, and this is going a bit left field with it, but in The Matrix where you would be plugged in and you could download literally Kung Fu into your head. Mm. You could literally download how to fly a helicopter into your head.
Yeah, that's what it'll be like.
So, but what I'm saying is, like, as far as physically then, me physically, I don't know Kung Fu. So when, and you can't change muscle with a chip in your brain.
Yes, you can.
With a chip in your brain.
Of course you can.
You can change muscle fibre, the quick, fast muscle twitch fibre, can't you?
You can change. You're
not going to be able to change you physically.
It doesn't make a difference. You would still know Kung Fu.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, how is my body? My body is not going to be used to it. So am I not going to be more...
Yeah, you won't be able to execute it
as good as someone who has trained.
But you could be the master of Kung Fu, but just because you can't flex and bit, and that is a problem, isn't it, for the human body?
No, so I mean, surely in theory you can know it, but your physical execution of it will be hampered by you not being in the fittest.
Yeah, it'll be hampered, but you know it. Like, you know it as well as Bruce Lee knows it.
You're making his point, though.
No, I'm not. I'm saying you would be the best at Kung Fu in the world, no matter what.
No, I'm saying I wouldn't, because of my physical limitations and the fact that I've never practiced.
So what you just agreed with me...
But your physical limitations don't exist.
No, they will.
Because imagine... Okay, so imagine you've got the greatest, jiu-jitsu practitioner in the world, right?
Yeah.
You've also got a guy who's severely out of weight and an absolute mess.
Yeah, yeah.
And you download how to be an expert jiu-jitsu practitioner into his head.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy who could do it anyway, whose body is built to do it, is still going to be better at it.
Yeah, if he's fitter.
That's the point.
But I could download an unlimited more amount of information about jiu-jitsu than he's ever consumed.
I think you're arguing two different things.
My point is the brain power will always overcome physicality. An obscene amount of information will always overcome the fact that you're fitter than me. Because I'll figure out a better way than you can ever even come up with of beating you. I'll be able to process the move that you're about to make 100 times faster than you can as
but
a regular human.
Your mind might be able to, but your body won't be able to do what it wants to with your mind. Even now.
Why?
Because think about it like
you're
this.
Because no, you wouldn't be...
This is the perfect example. When I was younger, I was way better at football than I am now.
Yeah.
Right? I now think about doing things when I've got the ball at my feet that I used to do when I was younger, but I can't because my body won't do it anymore, right? So even if you have it in your head and know what you can do, doesn't mean that you can still do it.
That's a good point. It's a good point. I still think, though, that you would be able to do it. I feel like that's because your brain can't get the information to your body quickly enough.
I like how you did that. That's a good point. I still think you could, though.
It is a good point, but that's because your brain's... Like, you think that, but your brain's not able to process it to your body fast enough.
Maybe. I don't know.
Your brain controls everything. There's not a second part of you going, I can't do it.
Yeah, we're not going to have an answer, are we? Because you are going to theory, aren't you?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It is a theory. But it's
interesting. It's mad interesting.
It's mad interesting. It blows your mind. And the idea of AI is scary. Like, I know this is really stupid, but like, you know AI the film?
Yeah.
You ever watched that?
I remember
I was young when that came out. Yeah. I remember being just creeped out at that film. At just the idea of like this kid that was a boy and was trying to feel emotions for his mother, but he was a robot.
Yeah.
But it was just like a crazy... Those things. It's one of those things where I think the thing is, We've been brought up in media for our whole lives to see AI or robots or any technology, advanced technology, being a certain way.
Mm.
So to have conversations like this, you almost have to go back to when you knew nothing about it to consider what it would actually be like in real life.
He explains it so well.
Which is a hard thing to
do. He
explains it so well. It's such a good podcast. Worth checking out. Go and listen to the whole Elon Musk.
On that, though, I wanted to... You brought up the Corden story, the two boys. Was there any sort of specifics on it that you wanted to go through?
No, not really. I think it was... You know what it was? I just... Obviously, as a black man, seeing it come up, and I was like...
Crazy.
That's mad. That my brother's from Croydon. Do you know what I mean? Two guys from Croydon, twins, who just managed to, off their own backs, turn themselves into multi millionaires. It's like
Sam and Steve.
Sam is crazy. No.
Sam and Steve.
Oh, Moseki.
But I love the film, man. One of them's got the Louis Vuitton belt.
Yeah, the Hermes. The other one's got the Hermes on there.
Such a black belt
as well.
You're wearing a Gucci belt today.
Yeah, I am, it's
bro. I'm still wearing the Dolce & Gabbana.
Joe lost his belt when we were in Leeds.
I don't know how.
So, someone stole it, you reckon?
Nah, I think I just was hitting people with it or something. So
you're now wearing your.
Wearing my girlfriend's belt for a week.
A week.
I mean, I'll be honest. I should have gone and bought one.
Over a week. Yeah. Definitely should have gone and bought one.
I know. Yeah. Really, really not.
In fact, speaking about Gucci, some fella keeps commenting on every video. Oh, Sav, watch check. What's your watch?
Yeah.
What's your watch? It's a Gucci watch.
There you go. Is it always this one?
I mean, no, that's my other Gucci watch.
It's the gold one.
This is one I bought, and my girlfriend.
What's your watch? Watch check.
I haven't got a watch on. I used to wear a watch all the time, but I haven't got a good fake at the moment, and I've got the money to buy a real one. So I used to always. This is a good topic to have about this.
Go on then.
Fake watches.
Okay. Would I wear them?
If you get a good one, you get a really good one.
Like a replica. Mm. Yeah, I would wear it.
See? Always.
I would not wear it.
No?
Nah, it's terrible. It's awful, tragic.
But the thing is, you're thinking of like a proper flashy. I'm not talking about a Rolly.
I'm not talking about anything.
I'm talking
about. I will not wear a fake.
So there used to be, naming no names, but there used to be a guy I knew that he used to work in the factories of Tag.
Yeah. Oh, right. And okay. So, you told me about this guy before.
And his watch price for fakes was not cheap. It was still 100 quid or like a couple, but you know, not 2-3 grand that you're going to pay for one of them. But basically, he still had the hookup for parts, and it just wasn't coming out of the factory, but he could make pretty much the same thing. And he'd charge whatever, and he'd make a Tag Carreras. And when I say, it's a very simplistic, not over the top watch, so it ain't even flashy, it's just normal. But the things would last like 7-8 years.
Yeah, no
problem at all. Still going. I've still got them. I ain't got a strap on it, but the face is still in my room now and it's ticking away.
See, this is the thing. This morning I woke up, right? I put this on, walked out my door, and when I was sitting on the tube, like, what's the time? Looked at it, stopped ticking. And this is real.
That's a real one.
Go into the shop and just fix it.
Tell you what, though. This is a quick question on things like that because this is going to remind me in terms of stupid stuff you bought as a kid, right? When you thought you were being caught or whatever. So. Me and my brother, when we were younger, the do-rag twins, me and my brother like bought some, like, for, you know, you get like a silver bracelet, it's got your name on it, shit like that, all that kind of stuff. But I remember at one point, I don't know if you remember this, but back in the days of like the old, I remember Ludacris wearing them, but like the old hip hop and rap videos, Jacob the Jeweler was always the guy that made the watches for the rappers.
Yeah.
And they were always, I don't know if you remember the ones, big jewels in the colour was always a leather strap, but a colour, so like yellow or red or something. Massive face, and it had a colour square, a colour triangle, and a colour circle in it. Big face and covered in diamonds.
Okay.
So we was just walking around near where we had my caravan growing up.
Yes.
this little market thing, like beachside market, and saw... Fakes, obviously, but like these two, someone had tried to make these two watches. Idiots that we were, it was like, oh, getting them. We thought we were proper cool. Like, we're getting these watches. I think maybe mum and dad pay like £10 each. Right? Oh, they were living proper. Because, like, that's dinner gone. Because me and him wanted a thing. And when we got them, walked 5 minutes to the car, got in the car, and the wrist thing fell off.
Oh,
and my dad just looking at us. You know, those moments as a kid where you slowly start to realise, I'm an idiot. And my dad's looking at me because he's right.
I just always used to buy a gun whenever I went.
Spud guns are amazing. When your dad's a greengrocer, a spud gun, unlimited ammo.
I used to get the most vicious BB guns. They used to sell them in Cornwall. And I don't know where they were getting these parts from, but they were stainless steel BB guns.
I know. Were they red?
I had one.
Nah,
no, reds were the stainless steel spud guns were red.
The one I used to work, they were stainless steel red. They painted red because if they were black, then you could be pulled out.
Oh, no, but you... Yeah, see, that happened later in my years.
Okay.
Because I remember early days of it. That's the deepest years between you two.
I had
a BB gun.
That's it. That's why they stopped doing it.
It was so spot on.
Click mag as well. And you could fire ball bearings out of it.
Yeah.
You could fire ball bearings out of it. And you could... Seriously,
because the BBs were like orange or yellow.
You could kill animals.
Oh, bro, I've got a story about it actually. So when I used to go to North Wales when I was younger, I used to shout out Cameron, Finley, and Gabriel. My cousin used to go and visit them.
What was the name of the place?
It was called. It was not too far from Abersoch. Place called Pwelly. I don't know.
Pwelly.
If you're from Wales, correct me. Feel free to correct me. But anyway, we used to go there, and the first thing we used to do, we used to go for like 2 weeks. On the first day, you'd go to the bike shop, and they would have BB guns and actual like air rifles in there. So we'd buy the BB guns. We had a shotgun one, a rifle one, and obviously the pistols.
I remember my mate had a rifle one.
Yeah, they were sick. But we would obviously go. They used to stay in a caravan, so you'd just be on the caravan site doing bits. You know when you're young, and you're on your bikes, and you're doing like drive-bys with the shotguns and that. And
like, I remember like going down to like. A park. There's a park, but near my house. But a park that's got a wooded area.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. With all the boys, all having these different things. But like even like with the rifle one, being like plotted up, like laying on the floor.
Big man,
nowadays I'd be like, I'm not getting shit on what I'm wearing. But back then, couldn't give a care. Yeah. Just straight down, laid down, rifle up, but like scoping to find your mates. You just see a thing in the distance. It was like I've always said, like. If you could have taken yourselves at those ages, maybe like, I don't know, 11, 12, and just given you and your mates like dirt bikes, BB guns, and a field that had like jumps and things like that in it, it would be the
hours.
Oh, it'd be unbelievable.
Mad.
And a mate of mine now still does airsofting.
My mate does airsofting as well. That can be quite brutal, though.
Oh, because it's basically it's
they're like real guns.
It's like it's strong pellets, basically.
Yeah,
To the point where if I'm say we're against each other and I'm standing in the corner over there, I have to say bang. I can't actually shoot you. So if we're doing
it's
a real airsoft,
yeah.
If you're closer than I think it's like 20 yards, you can't actually fire anything at people.
Yeah,
because
it can go through you.
It can go into you.
It's battered.
It's mad, bro.
But they do it in like old shopping centres that aren't being used.
Yeah,
there's one up in Reading, I think, is one
that
he said that he goes to.
Zombie one.
But he said you go up there. I don't think it's that. That's what we were looking at before. There's something. I'm sure he told me it's in Reading where he goes.
Might be the same place.
Maybe.
Might be the same
place. But yeah, and the thing is, they're buying like. He said the people that are there have got like thousands of pounds spent on the gear.
Yeah.
At the same time. He's got a pouch. One of the people there's got a pouch on his back that's a water thing with a straw because he's doing like an overnight game. And he's got a straw into it.
See,
like,
this
madness.
Is where it crosses the line. It's a sad.
It's madness. It's absolute madness.
It's that's the moment it crosses the line.
My mate's not
mad.
Level. This is a guy
sad.
That's there.
There's one letter difference and this guy's just crossed the threshold.
Yeah,
but I tell you what, if you gave my mate Fred enough money to do it,
he'd be Fred. Shout him out, he's a G still.
He'd be that guy.
He was there on the weekend, didn't he?
That's hilarious, man. Yeah. I tell you what, when we were in Wales, you're going back to Wales, the looks on people, so we'd come out of the bike shop with 5 guns, you know what I'm saying? So we're walking out, there's 4 black boys in the middle of Wales, like Welsh Wales, you know what I'm saying?
Welsh Wales.
They're like...
Not Cardiff.
What's going on? You know what I'm saying? It's mad. Like, we're walking around. Nuts. Shout out Wales, mate. It was a wicked time.
What's your story, Horn Dog?
My story is sort of, I guess, there's a key thing to it, but just a music catch-up, I guess, from the past week. Because there's been a lot going on.
Yeah.
Oh, stop this Eminem nonsense.
You've had 50 Cent going for Busta Rhymes.
Oh, he's
destroying,
man.
Which is just, like... 50 Cent, Sav said this earlier, it's so true.
50 Cent always kills people off, though.
Doesn't even need to do a diss track. He'll do it on social media. It's just done.
He killed
Floyd.
He ruined Floyd's life over the ALS challenge.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Read a page from a Harry Potter.
How dare you donate £50,000 to a charity of your choice if you read one page of Harry Potter book?
Oh, Deep South 50 Cent. Yeah, so there's that. There's news coming out this week that Tom Hardy is apparently in talks to release a grime album.
That's a mad
But that, do you know, mental. That doesn't surprise me.
Why?
It does not surprise
that
me.
That is a massive surprise.
Because
to me.
He grew up a proper scumbag.
Did he? Where did he grow up?
Well, no. To say a scumbag, he had a difficult upbringing. Like, I'm pretty sure he was addicted to. I don't know what, so I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure he was addicted to drugs, like
heroin.
Early teens.
Yeah?
Because he lived.
Like, where did he grow up in London?
He was homeless, wasn't he?
He was homeless.
Homeless.
Yeah.
He was like cracking cocaine and heroin. Serious? Addict.
Here's me just trying to not say the specifics and then just. Yeah, he's a crack cocaine.
I mean, so potentially this is the case.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But that doesn't play into any of this. He had a difficult upbringing. What's the one? Does that mean that he'd do a grime?
No, but I feel like he's more from that sort of urban, like.
There it is. Mobos has turned up.
And do you not think, then, like, any other actor, if an actor's going to do it, a white actor's going to do it, it doesn't surprise me, it's Tom Hardy.
Mm. Yeah, okay, yeah. But that wasn't even really my main story. The one I was going to
If it was
about.
Daniel Radcliffe, I'd be, like, mad.
Yeah,
fair play.
Maybe.
But so, interesting there. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Tom Hardy doing that.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, there's a mixtape from 1999 that's been released recently.
Of him?
Of a guy who was like a producer at the time. He had a load of tracks that weren't finished, but all the raps and whatever are written and performed by Tom Hardy in it, but from way back when.
Is it good?
I've listened to, because it's like 25 songs on it, and a lot of them are instrumental, so you have to like really sift through to find. I found one track that had a guy talking on it, and it was
rubbish.
Not really rapping. It was just sort of like faint talking in the background, yeah. So. I don't know. I haven't really got enough to gauge it on. But
you'd be surprised, wouldn't you, with the amount of actors that can do music.
Yeah.
Like you'd be so like
you've got a
I've got something there.
No. Do you ever find this? You always tell people the right side. Say if I'm looking at you, yeah, and you've got something here. So I'd say this to you because that's the same side.
If you're always watch by the way, other. I mean, Horn is just
it's a completely visual thing. Point being, people always brush the wrong side of the face when you tell them where something is. But yeah, so you've had Nicki Minaj and Cardi B have been going at it recently with a kickoff between them two.
Don't touch Cardi B.
Yeah.
Have you seen the thing going around that Cardi B and Ariana Grande are the same age and it's blowing people's minds?
I mean, that is quite nuts.
That is crazy. Yeah.
That is quite nuts.
Ariana Grande
is she going out with
now?
Is she going out with somebody?
Do you know
Ariana
that's not
Grande?
Do you know that's not how you say her second name as well? My mum is blown by this.
It Grande? Like,
everybody thought it. I thought it was Grande.
Right.
Like, and everybody seems Grande, to. Yeah. It's Grande.
Grande.
Yeah.
Grande.
I listened to her on I listened to her on an interview the other day, and she called herself Ariana Grande.
Is it not the accent?
Fine.
It was her who was speaking.
Ariana
so
Grande.
So she's going to say it right.
Fair enough. Fair play. Ariana Grande.
So that's the exact argument we had the other day. He's just gone back on it. He's gone back on his entire argument about someone pronouncing their name.
No, I haven't.
He had that conversation about him saying Kanye West.
Yeah, Kanye.
Yeah.
I never said I was right. I always said I was wrong, but I said that's how I pronounce it. It's
right.
Kanye.
Right, okay. Anyway, the point I was getting to was that part of the story, which was Eminem and MGK, Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, God.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Let's get yours first.
My thoughts are that the only reason I even know who Machine Gun Kelly is because he appeared on Catfish twice.
I didn't know that. So irrelevant.
Yeah, he was like partnering Neve.
He's partnering on that series.
And it's like he's terrible on that. And
he
comes across just so boring.
I remember.
And I bet he's a right boring bloke in real life.
This is the thing. I remember finding out about Machine Gun Kelly a long time ago, like when he was obviously just coming on the scene, and watching him, and not really, me personally, not really needing to come back.
Yeah.
Like I was kind of done with it. Then I knew for me he wasn't the kind of person I want to listen to because I think he got signed to perform at a WrestleMania, which to be honest, if you get signed by WWE to perform at a WrestleMania, your career's pretty much on the way out.
Maroon 5 are doing the Super Bowl this year, halftime show.
Yeah, but Flow Rider's done WrestleMania for like I think that's six of the last 10 years.
Flow Rider.
So that's their key. They're gonna be the main audience, aren't they? But so I kind of forgot about him from there, and then he pops up with the whole Eminem thing, and I think it comes from
it was out of the blue, man, wasn't it?
It was like six years ago he mentioned Eminem's daughter's name on a track. Or in an interview, one of the two, I'm not 100% sure.
You don't do that if you've got any like sense about it. You don't talk about his daughter.
So how did this beef start?
The thing is, that was the one, like most of Eminem's beefs through the years
have been because
of people mentioning his daughter's name on a track.
Yeah.
But Machine Gun Kelly did that. So why did Machine Gun Kelly drop Rap Devil?
So basically Eminem released Kamikaze, which is his, like sort of random new album that just came out. And when there was a sort of a shot fired at Machine Gun Kelly in that, just one or two lines, a little jab. So off the back of that, Machine Gun Kelly decided to make Rap Devil, and then Eminem decided to come back with Killshot. Eminem first came back with he sat down with Sway and did an interview, which was like people said he's come back with an interview rather than a diss track, and then he did the track. In my view, it's an interesting one because Eminem wins it. If you're talking about who wins the thing, Eminem wins it.
Mm.
But I was quite let down because it's like Eminem at six. Do you know what I mean?
When
you've seen how Eminem can go about these things in the past, it's like you finally think, and I know Machine Gun Kelly's not a big name, so it doesn't matter, but it's kind of like, if you're going to give us a diss track,
when you haven't done it in so long. Yeah, do a madness.
Give us something like wicked. And the only thing is it suddenly made me realise when it was happening that, like, I don't know, last couple of years you've had Drake versus Pusha T, which was decent. There was some good stuff in there. Before that you had Drake and Meek Mill, which was decent. There was also good stuff in there. But when you get one like this that comes out, it suddenly makes you realise how, in my view, the quality of like rap beefs and diss tracks has gone since Nas and Jay-Z.
Because it's all fake.
Yeah.
That's the reason. It's all PR stunts.
But that's the thing. Now it is. There is a lot. But it's just like that. It's hard to listen to some of it now because it just feels so manufactured.
But you know what? It's because we grew up listening to Efar, Hit 'Em Up. Under the bridge, what's it called? Bridge of Doom. I can't remember what it's called. Mm. Anyway, like huge, massive diss tracks that even now you listen to them, that's the greatest diss track that's ever been made. Do you know what I'm saying?
No Vaseline.
It's like
now it's KSI, mate.
Yeah, versus Logan Paul
getting as many views as that.
Literally more. So it's
like, actually, no, you say that. Eminem broke the record.
Yeah, it's done 80 mil, I think.
Most YouTube views on a hip hop track ever, I think.
But the fact that that it actually became a YouTube, it was like a clickbait on YouTube. It was like the YouTube trend was do a diss track.
The fact that is now a thing
proves that diss tracks are dead in music.
Yeah.
And they'll never come back.
Yeah. And the thing is you kind of don't necessarily want things to come back because you look at the likes of like, back in the day, they were linked to real problems that were happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, Nas and Jay-Z stuff was about people sleeping with each other's exes or whatever, wasn't it? But that, along with other stuff. But then the beef between Biggie and Tupac over the years, which was never like, there's always the conspiracy theories as to what happened with that.
Yeah.
But it's like, so you don't necessarily want it to be at the level it was at because there's other stuff going on with it. But it's just a bit of a, for someone who, myself, I'm quite a, when it comes to rap, I'm a big fan of lyricism, like someone who can actually piece together something well. It's a shame when you feel like when you realise you're not living in the golden era.
Yeah, whereas I'm not a rap fan, and to me it's just all rubbish, like just manufactured crap.
Yeah,
like nobody means it. It's literally being done for money, for views and publicity. Nobody anymore means what they're saying in rap.
I would agree. I mean, for me personally, on like a more of a UK level, like if you listen to a grime diss compared to a rap diss,
yeah,
you can hear the authenticity in 100%. A grime artist's voice, and they actually mean the venom that they're spitting.
Yeah, because rap stars, like, what's his name? Is it Lil Pump?
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like worth like $60 million after one track that was crap and went viral.
Yeah.
Like, there's no like legitimate rappers anymore because after one big track, they're a multi-millionaire.
Yeah,
whereas back in the day, it was not like that.
And the couple of people in the rap game that would be able to deliver something big like that, like in the US scene, like a Kendrick or maybe even a Cole or something that no one's going to go at them.
No, not really. And also, they wouldn't go at each other because it's...
Oh, no, they'd never go at each other because they actually, the they get on.
That's the thing.
Yeah, so...
So it's like, for
you're
me,
right, the grime is the
If you go back and... Well, even now, man, you listen to certain grime artists and it's died off as well because, like...
Oh, you still got the classics.
You still... Listen, Kano versus Wiley, Getz versus P-Money, like, Dirty Goods versus Wiley. Bro, these are all, like, legendary clashes, but that authenticity, you can't get that anymore because the hunger isn't the same. There's grime artists now that are millionaires.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's different. Yeah. You would never in a million years in the early 2000s get a grime artist who was had 100 grand to his name. So like the hunger isn't the same.
But the difference is that back in the day, when you're talking about a Jay-Z and a Nas situation,
they were still at the top of their game.
Yeah, and they still had the venom within it. Yeah. But that's because there was more stuff to it. I just thought it was an interesting thing to bring up, see what people's thoughts were on it.
Yeah,
let us know what you thought of
Rubbish
Killshot and Rub
Devil. Rubbish diss tracks are rubbish.
The best diss track
in about the last 10 years has been Rota Jaws. That's the level we're currently at with the rap game.
I'm with you.
I wish Snips was here.
If you want a winner, I'm not with you on the Rota Jaws bit, but if you want a winner from that beef, it's Eminem, in my opinion, but... Not up to scratch in terms
But Machine Gun Kelly didn't care about winning it.
He just wanted the publicity, didn't he?
There's a line Eminem says in that diss track where he says, oh, I had to give you a career to destroy it. Doesn't actually go against the fact that you gave him a career. So he's just had his biggest moment.
Like, I bet when he dropped Killshot, Machine Gun Kelly was at home going, woohoo! Yeah, high-fiving the missus.
Eminem's just made the biggest YouTube hip-hop hit the whole time. When you go on the video, it's Machine Gun Kelly's face in a sniper.
He's loving it.
And then he goes and supports Fallout Boy and walks out with his own with that exact design on his own shirt.
That's the thing.
Like
he's loving it, man.
Although he did get booed off stage there.
No, apparently it was a lie. Apparently that wasn't the case. Apparently a few people on Twitter were saying, don't use Fallout Boy fans to try and get yourself a cheer or whatever, but apparently a lot of people saying he wasn't booed, so
Trump.
But don't you find that with pretty much every scenario where there's one artist smaller than the other anyway?
Always.
So like with even like for example, Chip versus Bugsy Malone.
Yeah.
Very few people knew who Bugsy Malone was before the Chipmunk beef. Obviously, if he was into grime, and I knew who he was, so I was well into it because I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these two are going at each other. But Bugsy Malone won the clash simply because off the back of it,
his career went
huge now. Yeah. Like he's one of the biggest artists in the UK. Forget about grime.
If you go on the US side of the rap thing, you look at Drake and Meek Mill. Now Meek Mill lost that. As everyone always said, it was one of the biggest L's taking these things. But that actually started the best resurgence of Meek Mill's career that he's had.
Yeah,
and he's at his best he's ever been right now.
Yeah, man.
And it's because he's gone from this, like, at the lowest point to now coming back up.
Yeah.
So it's like, as you say, it's all built to engineer careers, the whole thing.
True.
But interesting. Joe.
What's your story?
My story is about doping. I've spoken about it before on a podcast. And the reason I bring it to the table is today, the Russian Athletics Federation have been reinstated into the Olympics. WADA have basically reinstated them after a 3-year ban because there's still loads of like stuff they've got to do, Russia. They've got to turn over all of the stuff in the laboratories and shut down the Moscow lab and do loads of little bits and pieces. But effectively, they're back.
Yeah.
And I want to know your guys' thoughts on whether or not you think drug users in sport should be banned for life. Because recently, I've seen drug users winning things and it's starting to wind me up.
I know exactly.
When I watched Canelo Triple G last weekend and everybody was like, Go on, Canelo. I was thinking, man, you're supporting a drug taker, a drug user here, who deliberately did it to try and gain the upper hand.
Yeah.
Yes, I will say, I've said this on a previous podcast, that Canelo, in terms of just watching his style of fighting, has always been one of my favourite boxers to watch because... I don't know. He just made it look so good.
He doesn't care. I agree
with your point. Yeah.
Like Tyson Fury as well has now got a shot at a heavyweight title, hasn't he? And Deontay Wilder.
Is Deontay Wilder holding his WBO? I don't think they've actually confirmed it yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's 100%.
Wilder
is one of the world champs, but it's not confirmed.
Yeah. Anyway, and should Tyson Fury really be fighting again?
So what's your view on it? Because the two sides to it is a flat out no.
My view is once you've taken drugs, once you should be banned from that sport for life.
Okay.
But you have to prove that you took the drugs.
And so what's your thought on, I'm playing devil's advocate here just to put the other side across. What's your thought on if you get served a suspension or whatever and you do that time?
Should be no suspension. You should be banned for life.
Yeah, okay.
As soon as you're caught and it's confirmed 100% you're taking drugs to cheat in a sport, you should be banned from that sport for life.
See, now, this is where I think there's lines. I think there should be lines. Do I think drug cheats should be banned for life? Yes, would be the answer. That's if I had to give a yes or a no answer. But, for example, one of my favourite fighters to ever watch is John Jones, and he's been caught out multiple times using drugs. Mm.
But his is not performance enhancers, is it?
So now this is the
his
thing.
Is
The first one was coke.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not performance enhancing. If anything, it's not going to benefit his fighting. But the second one was for trace amounts of steroids.
Yeah, bad.
See, now this is where, like, my opinion is a bit blurred, because listening to scientists talk about the amount that was found in his piss, it wouldn't have been enough to affect you physically, right?
How did he take it? Did he choose to take something?
No. We will never know that. Obviously, maybe he didn't. But the fact of the matter is, the amount that was found in the sample they took was not enough to affect his performance against DC.
But for me, I think the fact that there's... Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe there needs to be a lot, like an amount found
That should be quite a standard.
But once that's happened, ban them, get rid of them. We don't need them.
It's like a drink limit.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like,
here's one thing I think.
Gatlin should never have been allowed to.
Here's one thing that I think is worth noting in that, though. I think there's different ways to deal with it for athletes at different stages of their career. Because I think in your early years, I know.
Get rid of it.
No, but from in very early years of athletes when they're coming up, there's, first of all, not always as good an educated mind on their side as to what they're taking. There's a huge influence sometimes, I'm not saying always, I'm saying some, a huge influence from trainers that are controlling a lot more than, and these people are basically asked to put their faith in the person training them so they know what's best for them. And basically they're being led in a way where they're not 100% in the right position the difference is, you look at a Lance Armstrong, who is calculating to basically do this whole process because he knows results, at the peak of his career, do this whole thing. I think that is different to someone in their up-and-coming years, basically, I'm not going to say not knowing what they were doing, because I think that's a very easy get-out for people, but I think naivety can play a certain part.
For sure, it can play a certain part. Definitely. But you still shouldn't be doing it. You know what?
Even for example, right? Frank Mir, who was once UFC heavyweight champion, and this is a true story, I believe, but I'm like 95% sure. He ate kangaroo in Australia, and there's something in kangaroo, some like endorphin or something in a kangaroo that if you eat it, it will show up in a test that you've taken steroids. And he got cleared of it because they tested the kangaroo meat and it was exactly the same amount and it was exactly the same thing that they found in his piss. So, like, things like that, if you get found doping, cool. If you get found cheating, look deeper.
Yeah, there's got to be lines for sure, but once you're over the line, you've got to be banned.
No, 100%. I don't think Justin Gatlin should have ever been allowed to be on a track again, let alone a Nike ambassador. Do you know what I mean?
And then
that's a madness.
Now that's a different step. That's a madness. Well. Brands then aligning themselves with people is
crazy,
just mental.
So then, just to round off, Anthony Joshua obviously fighting on Saturday.
Yeah,
and he's fighting Povetkin, of course, banned as well for taking illegal substances. What's our thoughts on the fight? Who's gonna win?
I think Joshua wins.
Tough fight
though. It's not a tough fight. I just mean my call is Joshua wins. It is a tough fight. Povetkin's last one against who did he fight with the
Price?
Remember that Price with the which obviously Price was almost a last gamble for him, wasn't it, to try and
he's lost the fight early on, man. Shouldn't have been boxing again.
Yeah. But preventing that, I mean, he was never really going to lose it, but looked.
He looked good,
up.
But he also looked hittable, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. He's got a good chin, though, Povetkin.
He has got a good chin.
But Joshua wins it.
Yeah,
Joshua wins it. I think if Povetkin gets hit with the same left hook that David Price caught him with, remember when he stumbled back like that and went viral?
Yeah.
If he gets hit with that Joshua, he's not stumbling, he's just on the floor.
Yeah.
No, Patrick from East
Enders. This is probably AJ's second hardest fight ever behind Vladimir.
You reckon?
Yeah, man. I think in terms of levels, I think second behind Klitschko.
I personally think that Dylan White can beat Povetkin.
That's what I was going to say.
I'm not saying, no. When Joshua fought Dylan White, that wasn't his hardest fight.
But got a lot
now,
since.
If they fought, I think Dylan White would be as tough as Klitschko because of the fact that he's improved so much.
I just love that fight, though.
It was a good fight. It was a good
that
fight.
That fight between Joshua and Dylan White.
That one moment he won with AJ and everyone went...
He's so good.
I don't know, Povetkin's...
He's very good, though.
Povetkin's also a gold medalist, right, as well?
Yeah, I think
he is an Olympic gold medalist. So yeah. I'm excited for the AJ fight. I'm going to go AJ win, though, knockout.
Yeah, Anthony Joshua's Olympic.
Let's go round, then.
And some say he shouldn't have won it. Yeah. Camarelli should have won it.
Let's go rounds then. I'm going Anthony Joshua knockout in the third round.
Third. Ooh, early knockout.
I'd go later than that. I'd say Joshua wins by stoppage in six.
Yeah, I'd say six or seven. Halfway through the fight, I think.
I don't know if it's knockout.
No, yeah, I'll go stoppage in the third.
I think he drops him a couple of times and the ref steps in.
Yeah. You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not, because if you watch the way the Parker fight played out, and obviously Parker's a bit more of a tricky customer, I think, than Povetkin, a lot harder to hit. But having said that, like, when Josh doesn't know how to hit him, he just doesn't know what to... when he hasn't figured him out, you can see him sort of panicking a little bit.
The weirdest thing about the Parker fight, I thought, with Joshua, which upset me a bit, because he's always been quite an entertaining fighter to watch, was it was like he worked out in the first couple of rounds that he couldn't just catch him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Joshua fought...
I'll just beat him on points.
He fought that fight.
Yeah.
Which is like, fair enough, go do it.
That's smart, though.
But it's smart. But when you were watching it, it was like, that fight, it was a bit like, come on, man, do something.
Yeah.
It was it got very boring, that fight.
But even in the Takam fight, same thing. I don't think he didn't come across well in the Takam fight. Takam took that on short notice. I think it was Povetkin that pulled out of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, because Takam was like a crowd hero after that as well. To be fair, though, Takam's eye was absolutely...
We've all got Joshua.
I'm going third. You're going sixth for you.
Six or seven.
So one of you take seven, but you go sixth. I'll go third. There we go. Let us know your predictions for the AJ Povetkin fight in the comments below. I guess that's kind of it for this episode of NSFW.
Yeah.
We've been going for about an hour anyway. I'm pretty tired.
I'm off hour late for a meeting.
I kind of need a Red Bull. So anyway, if you're listening on the podcast, Apple, Spotify, don't forget to rate and review. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe button if you're watching on YouTube.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsafe the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, is very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsafe the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,